let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, good morning. Lee Henriksen here, filling in for Mike Malevsky here on Inside the City. And I have with me Chris Nile, Director of Public Works for the city. Thank you. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Good. So we were talking a few minutes earlier about big and small projects going on in the valley, in the city. And the small projects were like, What are the big small projects?
So we have, you know, I actually have a laundry list of stuff that we're trying to get at over the summer. Mm-hmm. Everything from, you know, our yard, our lawn crews being out every day, you know, and the stuff that they work on every day that we're trying to keep them. They've got enough stuff to stay busy all day, every day. So just, you know, keeping the town looking nice as far as grass maintenance and that kind of stuff. other projects we're trying to go through and get any potholes that are still out there fixed. fixing some holes and stuff on the roads where we had water leaks over the winter that now need to be repaired. We got that going on. Also, we finally have been able to get around to our calcium chloride to try to keep the dust down on our dirt and gravel roads. Did some grading on the north end of town. Done pretty much up there. We do have some gravel that we need to put into some of the holes on a couple roads up there. So we will be getting around to that here this week.
It sounds like thousands and thousands of little tasks to track.
And that was maybe only what, three or four of them. Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on, and and actually the public works superintendent Greg Wickham, he's on top of those, and he manages those kind of daily tasks that are out there, and they just got to get done.
So the road stuff, how much of that is you finding things, and how much of that is citizens calling in saying, "Hey, there's a problem"?
So that's actually a good bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of the daily repair things. I do ride around a little bit when I have time, and I'll try to find things. I know the city manager kind of does the same thing. He'll try to get out a couple times a week just to see what's out there. Maybe it's as you come up to some of our intersections, whether you're in the core downtown area or in the neighborhoods, we might have some trees or shrubs kind of that are growing into the right of way that make it hard to see around a stop. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're kind of looking for things like that we can get the crews out there and get those kind of areas cleaned up, looking for potholes, looking for, you know, just those I guess, for lack of a better term, those troubled areas.
Right.
So then I can take those to my roads crew and say, hey, look, here's some things that are out there that we need to get on the list and try to get after those.
So how much, I mean, is it good if people say, oh, this, I can't quite see around this, for people to call in and say, hey, there's this issue, I think?
Sure, yes, because that allows us to know, okay, well, we hadn't caught that one yet. So yes, we do take those phone calls. We need those phone calls. But as part of that, I also need, you know, the citizens to have some expectation management that, you know, just because you call in and give me a troubled area, it doesn't mean I'm going to be able to get somebody out there that day.
That day, yeah.
It's going to get on my list of things to do. Uh-huh. And kind of where myself and my superintendent have things basically prioritized, we will get to it.
Yeah, so. Just not right away.
It might be, because it might be something that's way up there on our list, and it was something that we weren't tracking. But if it's not, we've got it, and we will get around to it.
Okay, yeah. Good. So all those little projects are going on, and then the big project this summer, of course, is the wastewater treatment plant.
Yes. So the moving bed biofilm reactor is in. It's operating.
Okay. Stop for a minute. Wait a minute. What's a moving bed biofilm reactor? That sounds...
And you actually said it right. So that is the system that the EPA said we needed to put in to replace our lagoons. So our current system was our previous system, because the MBBR is almost up now, was a three lagoon system that basically the lagoons over a process of time as the water and sewage came in, solids were separated, everything else makes its way through the three lagoon system over a course of about 30 days. And then it's treated, its final treatment as it goes out is through our UV building, which UV light it passes through several banks of UV lights for final disinfection and out.
Out into the river?
Yes, it goes out into the Matanuska.
Right.
Obviously, before anything can go out, there's things that we're testing for, from ammonia to total suspended solids to dissolved oxygen, all of that kind of stuff. The big thing with the moving bed biofilm reactor, or MBBR, is we were having trouble removing ammonia from our wastewater. One of the main reasons for that is just because of our colder temperatures up here. We couldn't – cold water coming in as it sat there over the winter, you know, in the winter months, we were never able to get a good temperature where you actually have good ammonia removal with the bugs that are in the ponds that kind of do that work for us.
They sort of slow down in the cold.
Yes. So with the MBBR, we have it's basically six wells that are all connected to each other. Ends up being three banks. Sewage comes into our headworks building, solids are removed, everything else goes into the MBBR system. We actually have it's just called media, but it's a little plastic disc about the size of a quarter, and our bugs are actually growing on that media now. Mm-hmm. And so as the sewage goes into the MBBR, the water goes into the MBBR, it works its way through the MBBR with a lot of aeration. So a lot of – it almost looks like a big giant boiling pot in there. Uh-huh. And the big thing with the MBBR is – and we've already see it happening – our ammonia as it comes into the headworks building is usually somewhere between probably like 38 milligrams per liter, which I know that for most people that doesn't mean anything, but that's pretty high, or 40 and sometimes even up to 50, just depending on how much flow we've got coming in and kind of what's going on. It'll go up during the fair just because we've got more flow coming in. But we're already seeing that the MBBR, although it's not substantially complete yet, it's already working. We tested at the effluent of the MBBR yesterday, and it was down to 1.4
wow.
milligrams per liter. So that's
right.
Excellent. That gets us under our EPA requirement,
right,
for ammonia removal,
right.
And then with our current, what we've done is we still have two lagoons functioning, so our lagoon 2 and 3. So once the water's through the MBBR, it'll go for settling in lagoons 2 and 3 before it actually goes to the UV building. And it'll still pass through UV because the UV kills other stuff before it goes out into the river.
Okay, great. Just want to remind you, this is Lee Henriksen on Inside the City with Chris Dahl, the director of the City of Palmer Public Works. And you can tell we're talking about their big project, which I'm proud of the City of Palmer because many of the entities around our area are having problems with dealing with sewage. And mm-hmm. so the City of Palmer is solving it.
Yes.
For yeah. the city. And so so basically MBBR is replacing Lagoon 1 way.
In a sense, yes. Ammonia removal with the old system actually takes place as it goes through the whole
system,
all three lagoons. Primarily, it was happening in Lagoon 1. That's where we really were watching our bugs. But we watched bugs throughout all of our uh-huh. lagoon systems. But yes, we're really excited to see how much removal is already happening.
Good.
And the plant is by the EPA's decree, we had to be up and operational with the plant by 31 July of this month. And we got a substantial walkthrough next Thursday, and we think we're ready to go.
Wow, that's great.
So we're excited.
So The conversation about the sewage treatment plant makes me wonder, as a City of Palma resident, are there things that you prefer that I don't or do dump down the sewage system, dump down my toilet or my sink? Or is that a hard question?
I will say it maybe a little bit of a hard question, only because I'm not a water wastewater expert.
Right.
But I do know things like, you know, putting like old medication, stuff like that down the system. That's not good.
Okay.
That because as it goes through our system and gets to the MBBR, there still may be stuff in that water that could possibly kill our bugs. Really, with our system, the biggest thing we need is to keep our bugs alive. If there's anything that, you know, could get into our stream, upstream, if you will, before it hits our plant, that could possibly survive all the way to the plant that could kill our bugs, that's bad.
Right.
So we're always trying to make sure and monitor what we're monitoring different things as it's coming in as well as when it's going out. Because if we do get a spike in something that we know could kill our bugs, we gotta react
quickly.
Almost immediately, but quickly to try to counteract whatever it might be.
Right.
I know there's some development stuff that we might be getting a new gas station and possibly a car wash. So that's one of the things as when those things come up, you know, community development looks at it, public works looks at it, the city manager looks at it, and we all kind of pass those around and say, hey, here's kind of the things that we're looking at. Here's might be some of the concerns we have. And before something like that goes in, we want to make sure certain things are addressed.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, don't want a lot of gasoline.
No, that's not good either.
Or paint. People dumping any kind of...
Yeah, don't dump anything like that. That definitely needs to go to the recycle center at the landfill.
There's a hazardous materials center there.
Yes, hazardous materials.
So take your hazardous materials to the landfill.
Yeah, please don't dump stuff like that down
please,
the...
Please, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about... I have a friend's kid who, while he was in college, like 10 years ago, worked in the lagoons.
Oh,
you know, uh-huh. The big. I heard he was walking around in the lagoons. Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. Sounded like dirty work.
Well, so I know, you know, we do have covers on our lagoons right now. That was done in an attempt to keep our temperature up in the lagoons. And so I know our guys are out there on top of the covers walking around, but you know, we don't
right.
ever go out there without life vests and all that stuff.
Yeah, life vests.
I'd hate to fall in, but
yeah. Sure. So you've got that's exciting to have that up, and you've got your little projects going on.
Yes.
And you also take care of the parks in the city.
Is
that part of it? That's part of the routine maintenance
parks
of all the
maintenance and
the mowers
like
going
that.
Around and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a bunch of different tasks.
Yes. So if you wanted to talk about parks real quick, I can talk
to
you a little bit about what the Parks and Recreation and Cultural Resources Board is working right now.
Sure, that'd be great.
I'm the staff lead for that.
Okay.
And one of the big things that they're working on right now, and we just had a meeting last night actually, they are going through and basically prioritizing their 5-year CIP list.
What's a CIP?
Capital Improvement Plan.
Okay.
So things that they think that the PR crab, that's what was the abbreviation for it.
PR crab.
It's just easier than saying all of that.
The Parks and Recs, yeah.
What they think we should be focused on as the city. So they've developed a kind of a 5-year CIP list and prioritized that last night. But one of the other things that the mayor asked them to do and the council asked them to do was, hey, over the course of this summer, kind of can you guys go out and maybe with some city public works help do an assessment of our parks? What parks need what? Are there areas that need a park? Are there parks that just need, you know, help with playground equipment or just playground equipment that needs to be fixed or whatever? So they've been doing that. And actually at our next meeting, we're going to start going through that process of everyone's assessments. And then when we'll our end state is to put all of that together and then present that to the council as, okay, here's what our board has looked at as far as parks and what we think needs to be done at each of the parks we have, or here's areas that we think need a new park. And we've tied that to our CIP, mm-hmm. and here's our recommendation mm-hmm. to the council right. as a way ahead for parks and basically park development right. throughout the city.
Right. And you also are in charge of walking trails in the city, too?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. That's my favorite. So the trail by the airport?
Yes.
I know. Is that the
That
managed?
Is also one of our So we are looking at
at the end of Gulcana going over yeah. to Cope Industrial. Is that what that road is?
Yes. So that follows just on the west side of, 1028, I think is the runway, that connects Cope Industrial to, and the Arboretum right there.
Yeah.
Yes. So we had a little bit of, credits, if you will, with our contractor that was doing the airport refurbishment last year.
Right.
And we had them go in and gravel that. But that's one of the things that we're looking at, if we can find some money, some grant money or something, to actually have that paved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then an extension of that one that we're going to try to at least get flagged out this year is along the west side of Airport Road, going north to Arctic. So between Evergreen to Arctic.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, at least getting it staked out and possibly prepared is actually paving a bike path, walking path along the east or west side of Airport Road connecting
right.
to Arctic. So
right.
So in essence, you would be able to almost ride your bike from the Butte all the way into town, down Airport Road and right into the downtown core area.
The only piece mm-hmm. is that Evergreen stretch doesn't have very wide.
I'm not really sure where we can go there, but right. we're looking at that.
Right. That would be wonderful. That's been one of my dreams. All right. So I'm going to ask you about another thing because
sure.
it reminds me about that. There's more dog waste dispensers around town than I remember seeing in the past. That's part of you guys' too.
Yes. kind of got started a couple years ago. Sandra Garley, our old community development director, kind of started that initiative to get, you know, doggy poop stations set out. And over the course of the last couple years, we've got those going. And, you know, we heard a couple requests for more of them in different areas. So we've tried to get those out where people are asking for them.
Well, good.
And then our grounds crew actually goes through and empties those, you know, a couple times a week.
There's one that wasn't emptied a couple times a week a couple weeks ago, but I haven't been there recently.
Okay.
So, but actually it was out of bags.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Unfortunate for me at that moment because I needed a bag. So, I broke the law that day.
Uh-oh. I won't tell.
Oh, good. Thanks, Chris. It's on the air. I'm out there as a lawbreaker because I'm pretty vigilant about cleaning up after my dogs as we walk around. So, what else do you guys do? Municipal airport, you take care of streetlights, you take care of parks and storm drains, you take care of all the city-owned buildings, the road signs, city equipment.
Yes.
How many people do all this?
So let's see. With depending on the time of year.
Oh, sure.
My workforce there at Public Works fluctuates. You know, in the winter I don't have quite as many people, and in the summer I've got a full grounds crew that we're, you know, trying to keep on top of all the things that like to grow in the summer. On average, we're around 20-something, and then in the summer, we may get up into the little bit above 30.
Okay, good. So is there anything else you want to cover with what we've talked about today? We've covered a large swath of stuff.
Yeah, people might have questions about the Glen Highway. Obviously, that's not a city project. That's a state project, but that was awarded, the state awarded that contract to start the Glen Highway project. We should start seeing things start this summer. Obviously, you know, we're already halfway through summer. I hate to say that. but we might see some stuff mm-hmm. moving on that here towards you know, once we get into August. But nothing, we shouldn't, I don't think we're going to see any construction, more of utility movement, moving utilities and stuff like that.
Okay, great, great. Well, thanks, Chris Nell, Director Sure. of Public Works here in the city of Palmer.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.